Genesis chapter 49. Now Jacob is about to die, and he gathers together his sons. And he says, I'm going to tell you what will happen to you in the last days, that is in the future. Assemble yourselves and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, you're my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of my power, but you've been unstable as water, and so you shall not have the excellency, because you defiled your father's bed. So this continues the theme that you see all the way through, that the firstborn is actually not the firstborn. And we saw that in Genesis chapter 48 when Joseph brings his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, to Jacob, and he says, no, I'm going to make the younger have the blessing of the firstborn. And all that goes back to what happened in Jacob's life with his brother Esau, that he was the younger, but he was given ultimately the blessing. And so the simple lesson is that what is humanly strong, those who are strong and the beautiful and the powerful, these are not the ones through whom God works. He works through the weaker ones, through the poorer ones, through the ones who are broken. This is his way of working. And you see it now with how Jacob blesses his sons. Simeon and Levi, he goes on, are brothers, but weapons of violence were in their hands. Now, he's referring to what they did when they took revenge on the men of Shechem over their sister Dinah, and they went and killed them all. O my soul, he says, don't come into their assembly, don't be united, because in their anger they slew men, and in their self-will they dug through a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So those men were now, I suppose, quite old men. They would have thought, oh, Dad, but that was years ago when we killed all those men in Shechem. And so you see, though, that we can't just do bad things, especially like they did, killing men, and then think, oh, yeah, well, that was a long time ago. We've got to repent of it and put it right, and there's no evidence that they did that. Judah, you are the one whom your brothers will praise. Your hand will be in the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down before you. So he's really making Judah the firstborn, although he wasn't. Judah is like a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you're gone up. He stooped down, he couched like a lion, like a lioness. Who dare arouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. It seems to be saying that the great Shiloh, the great Messiah, the great king they were looking forward to, was going to be in the line of Judah. And that is what happened, because Jesus was from the line of Judah. Mary, his mother, was a descendant of David and fulfilled that promise that through the line of David there would come someone who would be the Son of God. He will bind his foal to the vine and his ass's colt to a choice vine. He washed his clothes in wine and in the blood of grapes. This is talking, I think, about Jesus, how his clothes were covered with blood when he was crucified. His eyes will be red with wine, his teeth white as milk. So this great Shiloh, this great king who was to come in the line of Judah, was also going to be killed and covered in blood. And you can see how in these ancient words it all looked forward to Jesus, that Jesus was always in the plan, in the mind of God. He didn't exist before he was born, but he was very much in the plan of God, in the mind of God, as John says in the New Testament. There was a what is called a logos, that is a word, a plan, a purpose. And that was with God right from the beginning, but it was made flesh when Jesus was actually born. Zebulun will live by the seaside, and he will be a harbour for ships, and his border will be to Zidon. Issachar is a strong ass, couching down between two burdens. He saw a resting place that was good, and the land that it was pleasant. He bowed his shoulder to bear and became a servant to do work. Dan will judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan will be like a serpent in the way, an adder by the path that bites the horse's heels so that the rider falls backward. So again, you've got the idea that that which is low will overthrow that which is high and powerful and mighty. I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. Gad, a troop will press upon him, but he will press upon their heel. Out of Asher, his bread will be fat, and he shall yield dainty food fit for a king. Naphtali is a hind let loose, he gives goodly words. Joseph, who was of course Jacob's favourite. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a fountain. His branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and persecuted him. Now, this is talking, of course, about what his own brothers did to him. But his bow remained strong, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So Jacob's saying, well done, Joseph. Although you had your brothers against you, you remained strong because God made you strong. All this was by the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies underneath, the blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of your father have gone above the blessings of my fathers unto the uttermost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brothers. So it was because of Joseph's separation from his brothers and all the bad things they did to him, and the fact that he remained strong in faith despite all that persecution, that in the end he was the one who had the special blessing. Benjamin is a wolf that ravens. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at evening he will divide the spoil. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spoke to them and blessed them. Every one according to his blessing he blessed them. And he charged them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave in the field of Machpelah, which is near Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham, that's Jacob's grandfather, bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife, and there I buried Leah. The field and the cave that is there, which was purchased from the children of Heth. So you can see then that although he was living in Egypt, probably in the most wealthy part of his life, with everything around him in a house, not in a tent, he said, I don't want to be here. I want to be buried with Abraham and Isaac back in the land of Canaan. And so with us, no matter how life turns out in this world, whether we're rich or poor, our hope should be the hope of Israel, as Paul put it, the things of the kingdom, wanting to always be identified with men like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, those who, although they were weak, they still believed in the promises of the kingdom which God gave them. That's how we should be. And when Jacob had made an end of charging his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and gave up the spirit and was gathered to his people. So he gave up the spirit. That's another way of saying he died. So then we are made from dust. And when Adam was made, he was made, if you like, a dead soul, a dead body, dead person. And God breathed into his nose the breath of life, and he became a living creature. When we die, or animals die, that life force, the spirit, is taken away from us. And we just go back to the dust, as the Psalms and Ecclesiastes tell us. We go back to the dust. But that's not the end. If we are part of God's purpose, we then will be resurrected when Jesus comes back, and so will Jacob.